week just about over because we got football tonight. Andy Hart, wherever you go. What the hell? Andy Hart just took off. Just got up and left. Show starts. I'm excited. Everyone's pumped up. Andy Hart's so pumped up, he just walked right out of his seat. What are you doing?
I had to move the chair. I like to be able to see my peeps in the Twitch chat, and it was a chair in the way.
That was way too much effort to see the nonsense that gets posted in this Twitch chat.
These are our people.
I probably shouldn't do that neck movement either.
Probably not. Jesus. Anyways, we got a big show for you today here. It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcand, Andy Hart, the ever-elusive Andy Hart here with you until just before 6 o'clock when we hand things over to the MassMutual pregame show with Boston and Red Sox, but today is all about the Patriots, all about the Jets. That's Gerard Mayo on his one-on-one that he does with Zolak, I believe, every week, and talking about facing Aaron Rodgers, which brings us to our big question of the day, a question that you posed in the email chain. I think it's a good one, and that is, and this is not just for betting purposes, people, all right? We'll get to our betting segment. This isn't about betting right now. This is a question about what this team is, what their opponents are, and the question is, are the Patriots more likely tonight to win the game and beat the Jets or get blown out by the Jets? We're not talking about a close loss. We're not talking about a moral victory here. We're talking about one end of the spectrum and the other end of the spectrum. Which one are they closer to? Are they closer to winning this game or are they closer to getting the crap kicked out of them? Andy Hart, you posed the question. Why don't you go ahead and answer it?
So as listeners to the Six Rings podcast may know already, I previewed it yesterday. I think there's a chance they get their butts whooped. I think there's a chance that it's a little competitive early because of the way they want to play and all that. Maybe they can put a little 40-yard drive together with six runs and hold on to the clock a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I think this is a tough week, tough spot, short week. Receivers are bitching. Well, you can't really change the passing game this week. Offensive line is in shambles. We know you're without two starters on the left side of the line.
Right.
We don't know if David Andrews and Mike Onwenu are going to play, and if they play, at what level. Although Andrews, if you read anything into media availability, Andrews was very sort of upbeat. So he feels like a likely to be in there kind of guy.
So he wasn't on the Monday imaginary one. That's the one that he was the DMP for.
Right.
And then the next two, right? Or was there only one other report? I think there was two more and he was on them, but he was limited.
So, yes. Yeah. But talking to the media, he was like, I feel good and I look good. Like, he's kind of upbeat and cheery and fun. So, but overall, you're facing Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. You're facing a team, let's not forget, Bill Belichick was gushing over 3 weeks ago about Breece Hall and what he can do and Garrett Wilson. And I do think they have looked incrementally better when they've taken the field. San Francisco, not great. A little better in Tennessee. So they're kind of trending in the right direction. They're more talented. They're at home. There might not be healthier. I'm not sure who's healthier. Both teams are a little banged up. Jermaine Johnson for them. CJ Mosley might miss the game. Mm-hmm. We'll see. He's questionable. But I just feel like this could snowball in terms of energy. If you turn the ball over, and the Patriots might be due. I know they were debating that on the Jones and Keefe show. I don't think Jacoby Brissett is actually due because in my mind, he threw a pick in Cincinnati. So he got one out of the way.
Fair enough. Okay.
He already made the bad throw.
You know who's due is Sauce Gardner. He has this long interception drought going on right now. It's been like 15, 16 games or something. It's like Aaron Judge, you know, not hitting a home run for 20 games. That's basically what's going on with Sauce Gardner here. But also, people aren't throwing towards him. We'll see if that changes. I kind of wonder, like, you know, for a team that doesn't really pass that much, a guy like Sauce Gardner probably gets pretty bored back there.
Yes.
You know, it's just sort of like, all right, well,
I wouldn't throw to him tonight.
I'm blanketing Tyquan Thornton, and this isn't really all that fulfilling.
Right. And if Jacoby Brissett is not necessarily looking to throw the ball down the field, not necessarily looking to make big plays. So remember the old Tom Brady find Ed Reed on every play that he wrote on his armband? If I were Brissett, I'm like, just avoid Sauce. Stay away from Sauce tonight. What good can come? Only bad can come from me trying to challenge Sauce Gardner. But no, I said it yesterday, just the energy or the culture or whatever you want to say, I feel like is being challenged a little bit.
Yeah.
And we'll see. I feel like on the road, I know early on in Thursday games, the road team was the, you know, take the home team. It was heavily swayed. I think it's balanced itself out over time as teams have learned how to prepare and kind of deal with the challenge of the week. But I don't know. I feel like the road team, Aaron Rodgers' first home game since getting hurt.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of factors that could sway this into a Jets night, a gangrene night, a
it's
jet
also
life.
Also a short week for an old guy. Hmm? Short week for an old guy. That you have to take that into account.
Is your quarterback young?
He's younger than Aaron Rodgers.
I know his birth certificate says he is, but he feels older sometimes.
Sometimes he does.
And
I
he's gotten the snot kicked out of him for two games. Yeah. So I bet you if you cut him open, the rings, he's similar right now. Aaron Rodgers and Jacoby Brissett.
Like you would with a tree, is what you're saying. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. I thought that was obvious. I didn't need to explain
it. I didn't know if it was maybe like a Sonic the Hedgehog thing, you know, with the rings.
It was not, because I don't get that.
Okay, well, never mind. When Sonic the Hedgehog gets hit, the rings pop out of him. You got to collect the rings.
Okay, you take it the way you want it.
And then you go and do it. I just wasn't sure what you meant. Anyway, it doesn't really matter at all. So you think it's more likely the Patriots get blown out tonight?
Yeah. I don't really see them winning this game. I mean, I think it'll be... is this a moral victory opportunity?
Against the Jets, no. I would say no.
So it's either win or lose. There is no moral victory.
Not in this case, no. Even if it's a really close game, I don't know. I'm sorry. It's the Jets. This is a team that you lost to them in that game last year. Belichick's last game was the first time he lost to the Jets in the last 15 tries, I think, dating back to like 2015. They had a ridiculous streak going against them. I remember them talking about it during the game. And then Belichick ends up beating them or losing to them and screwing up their draft pick. End up getting bounced to like 11. And that was the whole thing there. The one time he finally loses to the Jets and it actually screws him over. But it's not one of those, you know, you gave it a good try. Now, these are the Jets. It's an important game to sort of, right now, I think this team's really at a crossroads in the season anyway. Like, a win tonight, I think, could definitely turn a lot of things around from last week that you saw and didn't like. And it could also feed into the whole Gerard Mayo thing, which is, all right, he's got his guys motivated. There may be some people who are disgruntled in the locker room, but if you win, that doesn't matter. If you win, then those guys will get in line and they'll be fine, and eventually they'll get the ball and whatever, but you got to win. If you don't do that, it's going to exacerbate all those problems.
I also wonder, is there going to be any reaction to the passing game talk, the Pop Douglas?
I wonder that too, yeah.
And is that good? Like, who are you?
I don't think it's good at all.
I don't really think it's good either. I think your best opportunity... The Jets give up 4.7 yards per carry on the ground. Their front is not what it's supposed to be. Jermaine Johnson's out. If C.J. Mosley is out, I absolutely think you do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You try to get Ramondre Stevenson going. You mix it up with Gibson. You're trying to hold on to the ball. You're trying to keep Rodgers off the field. All of those things. I think the overthink reaction... Oh, we got to get Pop Douglas involved. We got to get the passing game involved, these receivers. I think that plays into the Jets' hands, quite honestly. I just don't think that makes any sense. And Mayo will be tested there too, right? Because 2 weeks ago, we're going to run the ball. You got to stop us. We're doing it. Like, every week, we're doing it. If the first play of this game is a wide receiver screen to Demario Douglas or like some little quick throw to Demario Douglas, I think that's a bad sign.
I think so too. Not just for the game plan of that particular game, but what, every single time someone bitches and complains, all of a sudden you're going to switch up the game plan and make them happy? Like, that's not, first of all, you don't have the offense for that. You don't have the talent, I think, to just jump around from guy to guy like that. And Pop Douglas might be your best wide receiver, but come on. You're going to completely redo the entire philosophy of the team to make Pop Douglas happy? Like, who the hell is Pop Douglas? That's sort of the point. Like, they don't have any receiver with that kind of standing. If it was Brandon Ayuk or even T. Higgins, then yeah, maybe you'd listen to that. But you're not going to listen to it for any of these guys. Except that Gerard Mayo is presenting himself as someone who does want to develop, you know, players and personalities and get it, make everyone happy and make sure everyone's all content all the time. And what are we, 2 weeks in, all of a sudden there's a problem in the locker room? Like, I don't know. I'm not sure if that way is as rewarding and easy to execute as Mayo thinks it is.
I also think there's not a lot of payoff for it because you're literally feeding the whiny receiver.
Right.
And what's he going to get, 6 yards? If I'm going to go away from my trend and say I'm a running team, but we want to mix it up, I'm going deep to Tyquan Thornton or Javon Baker or somebody. Something where if I hit it.
Or anyone ever.
Right. It's like Farrell Brown. I'm going to hit
pass,
a big play.
Like, come on.
Yeah. I want some payoff. I don't want, well, it's 2nd and 4. I could have gotten to 2nd and 4 with Ramondre. I don't need it to throw it to Demario Douglas. So if I'm going to mix up and go counter to my trends, it will be a shot play. It will be a play action or a boot with like a deep over or something where I can get some actual buzz out of it, maybe make their safeties stay, but like make the safeties think differently about. Yeah. So, oh yeah, great. Let's throw it to Pop Douglas so he's happy. I don't really care if he's happy.
Yeah, and they shouldn't be super focused on making sure all of their wide receivers are happy. I mean, it's just they're not going to be happy this year.
It's a team game.
They have Jacoby Brissett throwing to him. It's not going to be a big happy situation there on that field. Maybe with Drake May, it gets a little better eventually down the road, and he becomes more of a passing offense, but you're not getting that right now. You're not going to get that. And you have an offense, which I'm starting to wonder. And I think that this is going to eventually come to a head. Maybe not this week, but eventually this is going to come to a head if the offense keeps playing this way. Are they going to turn on Brissett, or are they going to turn on Alex Van Pelt? Because it seems like they're not really, at the very least, super excited about the way this is starting so far. And I wonder if it's because they think Brissett's not getting them the ball, or Van Pelt has just completely ignored him in the game plan.
Well, who would you, I know who I would turn on right now, just watching it.
I'd say Van Pelt.
Me too.
Yeah.
Because Brissett is running for his life. He's getting the crap kicked.
He's been excellent, according to our guest today, Tommy Cook.
I don't think it's a stretch to say excellent.
I think that is.
Good, excellent, done the best he can, whatever words you want to use.
Done the best he can and excellent are two different things. Like, excellent would be an excellent game. Like, he hasn't given you an excellent game.
He's been excellent for Jacoby Brissett.
He's been behind a crappy
offensive line.
Like,
he's been excellent for Jacoby Brissett playing behind a putrid line.
Sure.
That's about the best you can get. So he's been excellent in that role.
He's been behind bad offensive lines before, maybe. I don't know. It's like, I just sort of think that if he does have a good game, then I heard Jones say this, and I agree. If he has a good game, what are you going to call that? If he's excellent now, what do you call him when he has an actual good game?
Well, the excellent could come because the offensive line is better, right? Maybe his good game would be tied into the offensive line, not just he played better. And what's an excellent game for him? That would be the other question I would have.
210 yards.
No, I think that's fair.
A touchdown and no interceptions would be an excellent game.
I think that's fair.
I'm just sort of contradicting myself here. But that's what I would look at and say, that was a very good game. Good for him. Like, nice job there, Jacoby.
And I think he's probably capable of that. I think it's fair. You know, there's a lot of circling or swirling criticisms of Van Pelt early on. And we knew this was coming. Anytime you have an uncertainty in guys, like, the piranhas are there, right? The sharks are circling.
Right.
They're ready to pounce. And he's never done this before. The offense is one-dimensional. The passing game has its issues. You know, I've heard Bedard and others say, you need to beat man coverage. Man coverage, you beat it with talent. Zone coverage, you beat it with scheme. And you got to try to scheme some stuff up and different things. Alex Van Pelt is limited by the offensive line in the same way that Jacoby Brissett is. They're in different roles, but there's limitations.
Yeah.
Like, if he was, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do a 7-step drop, and we're throwing the ball down the field. How do you think that play would end?
I think it would end with a sack, probably.
Yeah.
And three or four guys all getting credit for the sack.
Right.
It wouldn't
and
just
maybe
be like one guy.
Fumble, and maybe they're scooping and scoring and
like
all hell's breaking.
Will Levis last week. And I mean, listen, this is a defense that turned him over two times on consecutive drives. That game still ended up being a close game, all right? So it's not like the Jets forced two turnovers and still needed a touchdown at the end of that game to beat a Tennessee Titans team that I think is in real trouble here, despite the fact that they have better weapons on offense than you do. But I think that's sort of what kept them in that game. If you go down like that, if they turn you over, are you getting back in that game?
No.
Do you have a Calvin Ridley to go out there and make a couple plays and get in the end zone? No way do you have that. And you could have had that, but you don't.
I didn't want that.
I know you
I mean,
didn't.
I kind of did, but I didn't.
He was awesome last week. Ridley was a machine last week.
We'll see how
he
many
was.
Times he's a machine.